didn't own.
You cut it back off.
Pull right there and turn it on.
It's on now.
Okay, I can't hear it. Okay. The monitor, put me in the monitors, I think. That might help a little bit. There you go. Put me in the monitor. God's awesome! How many of y'all remember the Pillsbury Doughboy? He's cute and cuddly. Did y'all know that he was wanted for attempted murder? A woman in Arkansas was sitting in her car in a grocery store parking lot when she heard a loud bang. She felt a sharp pain in the back of her head, and she was holding her hands behind her head when someone walked by and asked, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yes, I've been shot in the head, and I'm holding my brains in." It wasn't... The EMTs got there and got the jaws of life and got her out of her car and found out that it was not her brains. The Pillsbury biscuit canister in the back seat had apparently exploded from the heat. It made a loud explosion and shot the dough in the back of the woman's head. Amen. Today, I want to tell you, there may be some things happening to you that you don't exactly know why, and you got the wrong understanding of why it's happening. Amen. This is gonna be an awesome sermon. Matter of fact, I can't wait to show this to you, because some of y'all are doing this right now. If I could go in your house and take a picture of you, or go in your job and take a picture of you, or go in your family and take a picture of you, this is what I might see. We're going to see the man who's cutting his own limb off. Amen. Like the Three Stooges, Larry shot a hole in the boat and the water was coming up, and Moe said, "Do something." So Curly shot two more holes in it. He said, "Why'd you shoot more holes in the boat?" "So I'm letting the water out." Amen. Yeah, so get your Bibles out. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 21. We're going to find out who our biggest enemy is. If I was to ask you before we started talking who your biggest enemy is, there's no telling who you would say, and I don't want you pointing fingers. All right, everybody, let's stand. Proverbs 18, 21. Ready? Okay, I'll wait. Proverbs 18:21. Everybody got it? Say amen. If you don't, say on me. All right. Y'all will get this. Death and life. Wow, both. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life, and those that love it, meaning those that, whatever one you favor, whichever one you're always talking about, the one that you're always putting in front, that's going to be the one that you bear the fruit. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, you're alive, you're well, you're on the throne. We know, God, there's absolutely nothing impossible for you to do in our lives. I ask you right now to touch and anoint. Help us, God, to see and to know and understand what you are doing in our lives right now. Help us, God, to see you in a greater way, to understand you and to understand your word so that it clearly speaks to us this day. And when we leave this place, let it be an awesome thing. And as we leave, lives will be changed. And next week, there'll be a different person coming in here other than what you're carrying in your shoes today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Look on the way down, get somebody a high five, low five, no five, and say, God's awesome. Some of y'all got to get 4 1/4, some got to get 4 1/2, but go ahead. Amen. Now we're going to talk about our biggest enemy. So I kind of already gave it away with that picture, didn't I? But who is my biggest enemy? Who is your biggest enemy? Think about it. Look, if we start talking about it, I hear people all the time, I say, well, who's your biggest enemy? And they'll go, well, Satan. No. He's not your biggest enemy, although the Bible says, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's going around trying to get all he can. Matter of fact, I like the Message version. It says, or of course, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I like the Message version of it. It says, keep a cool head. That right there is a big challenge for some of us. Amen. Amen. The devil, look, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce. So what it means, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour. Walking about as a roaring lion means he's stalking his prey. He's stalking you. You know, you might say, if you ever felt like somebody was stalking you, they are. Satan is. He's stalking you. He wants you. And with nothing, like nothing better than to catch you napping. Wow. Isn't that something? So look, it's not Satan. Was it the world? No, but the Bible tells us that the world does not love us. The world will want anything other than us to come and what they call shoving it down their throat. A man went to play golf with Billy Graham and Gerald, I think it was Gerald Ford, Billy Graham, and somebody else. The guy said, how'd you like playing golf with the president, with Billy Graham? He said, well, it was okay, but Billy Graham kept shoving religion down my throat the whole time we played. He said, really, what did he say? He said, nothing. Amen. The world does not like you, so don't be offended if the world does not like you. We offend the world. The world is not a great big old round thing, and we talk about the world. It's a system. And there's people that are sucked into the system, and they come after us. Well, then is it others? Well, sometimes we like to say that. We like to have somebody we could point at and point to. Well, see, if it weren't for them or them, I think I could get along. Well, guess what? It's not others. I'm going to tell you who your biggest enemy is. Get ready. Point your finger to the person sitting in your pew wearing your shoes. When I first said point your finger to the person sitting in your pew, all of a sudden somebody said, all right, get them now. And then when I popped up, the one wearing your shoes, oh no, now you done gone to meddling. Amen. David Linton is David Linton's biggest enemy. My mouth gets me in more trouble. My faults, my attitudes, some of the way I handle things. There's all kinds of things that gets me in all kinds of trouble. You know that? You know, but see, something you got to understand is that God has something special for all of us. He's given every person faith, a measure of faith. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, receives the impossible. Amen? So now it's this. God's given every man a measure of faith. We believe he is. He's given us hope. We believe he is able. He's given us a vision or a dream. We believe that he is able to use me. Get ready. Here's the ouchy part. Every sermon ought to have at least one ouchy part. If you've gone to a sermon, never heard an ouchy part in it, you better back up, buy the film, or buy the tape and listen to it again, because there's an ouchy part in every sermon. Well, here's your ouchy part. Get ready. Satan does all he can through the world and through others who we thought they're our enemies to enable me to destroy me. Wow. What a revelation. Satan, the world, to others. Satan does all he can through the world and through others to enable me to destroy me. So I can blame everybody else. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, when I stand before God and he judges me, he's not going to judge me because of what y'all did to me. He's going to judge me on how I responded to it. Amen? Life is 5% what happens to you, 95% how you handle it. I was in the hospital the other day, and I went to get me a Starbucks, and the lady said, would you like decaf? I said, decaf? I said, that's like being religious all your life and dying and finding out that you should have been saved. I said the same way. Decaf, you do all that work for nothing, because when you get to the end, there's nothing there. I said, I want the whole cow. Amen. So now, so watch this. Here we go. Here, listen carefully. When we fail to listen to the voice that matters most, and it's not your spouse, it's not your kids, The voice that matters most is God's. And you say, well, I don't hear him talking. If you read his word, you will hear him talking. If you read his word, you'll understand what he's trying to say to us. When we fail to listen to God, then we believe the dream killers instead of the dream giver. God is the dream giver. All through the Bible, even if sometimes it was called dreams, sometimes it was called visions, the Bible says in the last days that the old men would dream dreams and the young men would see visions. God has something special. He wants us to see not how things are, but how they can be. He doesn't want us just to live in the right here and now, but God wants us to live in the right here and now, knowing that there's going to be a better tomorrow. There's a better day coming. Every time I step in here, I believe with all my heart, next Sunday this place is going to be packed to the brim. Every Sunday, the next Sunday, even this Sunday at altar call, I'm expecting this altar to be full of people praying and seeking God, and some even being delivered and saved. I always expect, and then I expect to see even more of it, because God has showed me. When I first came here years ago, there was all kinds of things going on all around us, and the Lord spoke to me and said, don't worry about that person down here, don't worry about what's going on all around you. Don't even worry about what's going on behind you. You focus on my word, my power, my anointing, and watch what I can do. Get your eyes off everything else, focus on me, and I'll take care of business for you. But you know David Lynn. I don't always do that. I know. Forgive me. Who wants this? Y'all come and do it. Y'all can do it better. But you know what? I thank God that great things are coming. So watch this now. Watch. You don't have to live that way. Amen? Every day you have a choice. Listen to God's word. Listen to God's spirit. Or believe what the dream taker tells you. Now, who wants to listen to the dream taker? Remember, the dream taker is, guess who the dream taker is? You. Oh. Y'all did it with me. Oh. Satan, through the world and others, enables me to destroy me. I can blame everybody. Makes me feel better. You know what's so bad about terrorism? In World War I, World War II, we knew there was a place on a map. We knew we had to destroy this place, this map, these people. But terrorism, they're all everywhere. You're not at an enemy that's poised in one position. You're going against an ideology. And because we're going against an ideology, they're everywhere. So you never know where it's going to pop up. The same way, listen, we don't know what's going on in our lives tomorrow. The Bible says we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but it's going to be sufficient enough to worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow today. Amen? So now, watch this. God has given everybody a vision. Everybody. I'll say everybody. And because he's given everybody a vision, Satan knows this, then he wants to attack. You see, he wants to attack your vision. You say, see, so with this in mind, let me tell you something. Satan just does not want to attack you from because of where you've been come from. Satan does not want to attack you because of where you are. The biggest threat in his life is Satan wants to attack you for where you are going. He knows that if he doesn't stop you, you're going to cause him a heavenly headache. So he knows he's got to do something now. Let's just go over that verse. Where there is no vision. Now think about this. That word vision in the Greek is dream, revelation, oracle. It means God has spoke to you either through the word or God spoke to you in other ways, but God is showing you something. It is clear. You can match up with his word, whatever it is, but it says, where there is no vision. You know, a lot of people, when they die after they retire, it's because they have no vision. They say, now I can just lay back and do nothing. They do it for a short while. But you get somebody like Steve Kara, who flies a low-flying plane out here. Y'all seen him mow the grass? I actually thought somebody was landing the plane. I heard it. It went, wrong, wrong. I said, we're under attack. I went out and looked, and Steve had that thing, had the arms laid down, and that thing is going through here. He said, I've been busier now since I've been retired than I have when I was working. Swing shift. See, where there is no vision, the people. Now, I want you to see this word, the people. I like this because it says the congregation. The whole congregation needs a vision together. The tribe. What I really like about this is when it talks about the troops. Where there is no vision, the troops perish. When the man goes out on the war field or on the battleground, if he doesn't know where he's going, he doesn't know where the rally point is, doesn't know who the enemy is, doesn't know where he's fighting and why he's fighting, he's going to die. The same way, we have to have a vision. We have to have a God-given plan to take care of business. It says, so if these people don't have this, the tribe don't have this, they perish. It means to lose them, to expose, to be dismissed. To set at nothing, to be absolutely, whatever you do is worth nothing, to be uncovered, to be unprotected. But he that keepeth the law, God's word, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He that keepeth the law, that word means, keepeth means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend to. When I got God's word, I remember one time I got called in, I got called by a sister one time. She said, when I say sister, I'm not talking about a nun, I'm talking about a sister in church. She called me and she said, I need some help. I said, and she was screaming. I said, what kind of help do you need? She said, my brother's drunk. He's trying to commit suicide. He's locked himself in the house. He's got a gun. He has shot at us. I said, who is us? She said, me and two deputies. Now, this is way on back. Nowadays, it'd be a whole lot different story. But this is way on back. This is back in the 90s, early 90s. So here comes... She says, can you come help? And I actually thought she was kind of kidding. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go try to help. And I said, I don't have any idea what's going on, but I'll go see. And when I get there, there's a deputy car, two deputy cars. There's his sister's car, and they're all hid behind the car, and they're looking at this two-story house. And I come up and said, what's going on? And she said, the idiot shot at me. She shot his own sister. And she said, the police are going to go in, the deputies, but they go in, it's going to be bad. Can you go get him? Who got the mighty army yesterday? The breakfast of champions is not cereal, it's opposition. Amen? So I had my great old Big Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I closed it up. I put it right over my heart. I said, Lord, if he shoots, let him hit your word. And I walked up to the door, and I knocked on the door. And he said, who is it? I said, it's the preacher. Open up. He says, I'm not going to open up. I'm going to kill myself. Well, I said, let me in. I'll help you. And he kept hollering. I said, open this door. And he finally opened the door, but he was drunk. So he laid the gun up against the wall while he opened the door. And I reached in and grabbed his gun. He shut the door. I said, well, what you going to do now? I'm out here with a gun. You inside. And so he said, all right. So I opened the door. And he said, give me back my gun. So I opened the gun, poured out all the shells. It was a 410, 20-gauge, 410 something. I threw out all the shells. I gave it back to him. We went through a whole rigmarole. He wound up taking a knife and cutting himself. It got really kind of messy. But by the time the law got in there, it was all under control. But the whole time when I went up there and I knew what was going on, I had that word guarding my heart. I didn't have a bulletproof vest, didn't have a helmet. All I had was God's word. But you know what I thought about? And I put that word up here. I'm thinking, all these people are standing around watching. And I put that Bible up here, and all of a sudden I got bold as a lion. You see, God's word will protect you. He that keepeth the law, he that keepeth the word, it hedges about him and it protects him. And the Bible says, happy is he. And that word happy don't mean just have a smile on your face. That word happy means that you now walk straight, talk straight, you act straight. There's something good in your life. You're level. Level. I like the word level-headed. Amen? I know I'm level because the bubble's in the middle. All right, y'all got it. So now, God, here should be our prayers. God, give us vision. Give us a vision. Don't just play around. Give us a vision. God, I want to be stirred by things I see. I was in the Dollar Tree yesterday. I was in a hurry, and a lady got in front of me, and she spent $100 at the Dollar Tree. She said, how many items you had? You spend $100 at Walmart and have one item in the bag. She had 15 bags, it seemed like, and that poor woman that was working. Y'all seen that movie where the sloth is taking care of people? The woman was going, and it wouldn't ding, so she'd go. I started to say, lady, if you'll move, I'll get there and check her out for you. By the time she got through, she said, said to me, she said, this has been such a rough day. She said, I'm the only one up here checking out. And I was thinking, that's pretty obvious. I've been here 10 minutes waiting for her. And the Lord spoke to me and said, is that how I called you to handle this today? And I said, no, sir. And so I pulled out the Mighty Army. I said, I get this thing every day called Mighty Army. I said, I'd like for you to look at it. And I held it to her and said, the Breakfast of Champions is not cereal. It's opposition. And she went. And so she went to check out mine. She went. But it still didn't catch it. So she kept going. You had to be there. All right. A God-given vision. First, it's attainable. It's not out of reach. It's not so far that you can't reach it. If God gives it to you, remember, the Bible tells us that God, He gives us revelations. He gives us visions. God works in our life. God, the Bible tells us that He does that. So you know what? We know that God has given everybody in here a vision. You say, well, what is my vision? Let me ask you a question. What are you hungry for in God? That's a good indication of your vision. What aggravates you when you want to put a stop to something to help somebody, to feed the poor, to take care of somebody, to reach down and get somebody. And whatever that is that you feel in your heart, that's your God-given vision. He's not going to give you something you hate. He's going to give you something that is attainable. It's not out of reach. Not only is it not out of reach, but it's active. It moves. It motivates us. It motivates others. When your vision that God has given you begins to move, it moves others. And also, watch this, it's attractive. It requires faith to please God. And when God sees you responding to the vision, it attracts Him. You know, we were doing a singing somewhere. I can't think of the name of the place right now. We're doing a singing to praise team. And so I knew it was hot, and I got my anointing spot. Somebody calls them bald spots. I call it the anointing spot. That's where the anointing comes in from the on high. It's so strong it burnt the hair off my head. And so I stopped to get a hat. And I didn't want to just get an old regular hat. And so I happened to look down and said, that looks like Benny. It was one of those Benny hats. You seen the hat Benny wears. Pulls down, you can put it aside. You can be like an Australian. Pull them all down. Be like a, you know, you're in the army. You put them both up and look like an Australian cowboy. Well, I got the thing. And after I got it, I discovered something. When it rained and my arms were full and I couldn't hold an umbrella, that hat was good because it guarded my head. So I kept that thing in my car. Whenever it got rained, I put it on. It was awesome. Well, I happened to go to a meeting the other night that was required of us so we can go see Bethany this weekend coming up. So when I go to this meeting, there's a lady. She's in her 80s and she's in a walker. She walks in the rain. And she gets in and she goes, and she throws the water off over because she's trying to hold the walker. And she looks over my hat. She says, I like that hat. That's a nice looking hat. That's awesome. And she said, where'd you get it? And I said, well, I got it at Walmart. She said, that is a nice looking hat. And the Lord spoke to me and said, give her the hat. I said, Lord, she doesn't want an army hat. He said, did I ask you to argue with me? I said, well, Lord, I like that hat. He said, she does too. Give it to her. I said, but it protects my head. And she said, he said, you need to protect your anointing. Ha, 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 ha. I want to protect my head. He says, you give me that, hang over that hat, I'm going to do something, your anointing is going to be awesome. If you hold on to it, then you're going to, look, that's going to, that's not going to be protecting your anointing. So I walked out. As I walked out, I looked over at Linda and I said, Linda, I got to do something. I got to do it. I turned around and she said, what? I said, watch. This little lady comes out. And when she comes out, I walk up to her and said, you said you like my hat. She said, yeah. I said, can you hold an umbrella with that walker? That was the silliest question to ask her. She goes, I said, I want to give you this hat. And she said, and she was from New York, and I reckon people weren't used to people being nice to her. And I just said, I want to give you this hat. And she says, why? I said, to protect your head when it's raining. She said, why? I said, because you can't hold an umbrella when you're carrying a walker. She says, yeah, but why are you giving me this nice hat? And I said, can I just be nice to somebody? She said, well, let me see what it looks like. And so she puts it on her head, and her husband, he finally makes it out, because he had to be 90-something. He finally makes it out, and she goes, how do I look? And he just went, and she said, thank you.